There was an elvish song that spoke of this, or at least so I understand it. It used to be sung up and down the great river. It was never an Entish song, mark you. It would have been a very long song in Entish. But we know it by heart, and hum it now and again. This is how it runs in your tongue. The Ent. When spring unfolds the beechen leaf, and sap is in the bough, when light is on the wildwood stream, and wind is on the brow, when stride is long, and breath is deep, and keen the mountain air, come back to me, and say, my land is fair. The Entwife. When spring is come to garth and field, and corn is on the blade, when blossom like a shining snow is on the orchard laid, when shower and sun upon the earth with fragrance fill the air, I linger here and will not come, cause my land is fair. The Ent. When summer lies upon the world in a noon of gold, beneath the roof of sleeping leaves the dreams of trees unfold, when woodland halls are green and cool and wind is in the west, come back to me and say my land is best. The Entwife. When summer warms the hanging fruit and burns the berry brown, when straw is gold and ear is white and harvest comes to town, when honey spills and apple swells, though wind be in the west, I linger here beneath the sun, because my land is best. The Ent. When winter comes, the winter wild that hill and wood shall slay, when trees shall fall and starless night devour the sunless day, when wind is in the deadly east, then in the bitter rain I'll look for thee and call to thee. I'll come to thee again. The Entwife. When winter comes and singing ends, when darkness falls at last, when broken is the barren bough and light and labor past, I'll look for thee and wait for thee until we meet again. Together we will take the road beneath the bitter rain. Both. Together we will take the road that leads into the west, and far away we'll find a land where both our hearts may rest.
And I still haven't found what I'm looking for. And I still haven't found what I'm looking for. I have kissed honey lips, felt the healing. Baby, the colors bleed into one. They bleed into one. Yes, I'm still running. You broke the bonds, you loose the chains. Carried the cross of my shame, of my shame.
That was a band called Treebeard with I Still Haven't Found What I'm Looking For. I'm Green Man Took, and you're listening to The Voice of Middle-earth, a celebration of all things Tolkien. Music for inner and outer journeys, discovery, and the natural magic of the world. In a few moments, Mungo Bunce will be talking about the Palantiri, but until then, we're going to hear some music by Marco Lo Musico, The Book of Bilbo and Gandalf.
Hello, I'm Mungo Bunce, and you're listening to The Voice of Middle Earth, music for your journey there and back again. Here's a little essay on the Palantiri, also known as the Seeing Stones. The Palantiri were made by the Noldor of Valinor in the uttermost west, possibly by Feanor. Many Palantiri were made, but the number is not known. Some of the stones were given to the Dúnedain of Numenor, as a gift during the Second Age by Gil-galad. Of these, Elendil took 7 with him on his flight to Middle-earth upon the downfall of Numenor, and in time they were distributed among 7 places, 4 in Gondor and 3 in Arnor. They were used largely for communication, but also to see what was occurring throughout the realms. The Master Stone was not one of the 7, but remained in the Tower of Avalona in Tol Eressëa. It was the Master Stone. It apparently could not communicate with the stones of Middle-earth, or at least is not mentioned having done so. The Osgiliath Stone was the largest stone among the 7, and chief among them. It was placed in the prominent building in Osgiliath, the capital city of the Kingdom of Gondor. The ceiling of its chambers was painted to resemble a starry sky and gave its name, Osgiliath, the Dome of Stars, to the city itself. It was too large for one man to carry. The Elosterian Stone, also known as the Elendil Stone, was placed by Elendil in the Tower of Elosterian in the Amin Barad, just west of the Shire. The tower and stone were maintained and guarded by Círdan and the Lindon Elves. Elendil used it to look back along the straight road to Eressëa and even the Tower of Avalona in the Master Stone. But though it is indicated that he tried, he could not see the fallen Numenor. It could not be used in communication with the other stones and was unique in this respect. The Amon Sul Stone was placed in the watchtower of Amon Sul. It was the largest and most powerful of the Arnori and Palantiri, and the one most used in communication with Gondor. Like the Osgiliath stone, it could not be lifted by one man. The Annúminas stone was also placed in Anor, in the city of Annúminas. The Ithil stone was placed in Minas Ithil, in the mountains that came to be known as the Ethel Duath. When Minas Ithil fell to the Nazgûl, the Ithil stone was taken to Barad-dûr and used by Sauron. The Orthanc stone was placed in the great tower built by the Dúnedain in the Second Age at the southern end of the Misty Mountains, Orthanc. It fell into the hands of the wizard Saruman, who used it to garner information on his neighbors and their activities. The stone was also partially responsible for Saruman's fall from grace, as he was using it when he came upon Sauron, and was ensnared by him. After the War of the Ring, the Orthanc stone remained in the custody of the kings of Gondor in the Fourth Age. The Anor stone was placed at Minas Anor, later renamed Minas Tirith, and made the capital of Gondor. It was kept an unused secret by the ruling stewards until it was ultimately used by Steward Denethor II to watch his land, and he eventually even challenged Sauron in a battle of wills. Denethor did not become corrupted, but the great effort of will that this required of him led him to age quickly. Denethor was holding the stone when he committed suicide on a funeral pyre, and after this, only people of exceeding power could see in it anything other than two flaming hands. For those of you who don't live in the Shire, here's a little tune called Seven Stones by Genesis.
I heard the old man tell his tale. Think up alone within a storm, and losing hope he clears the leaves beneath the tree. Seven stones lay on the ground. Within the seventh house a friend was found, and the changes of no consequence will pick up the reins from nowhere. Sailors in peril on the sea. Amongst the waves are rattles near or not yet seen. The seagull flying by, the captain turns the boat and he asks not why, and the changes of no consequence will pick up the reins from nowhere.
Thank you.
This is Green Man Took. You're attuned to the voice of Middle-earth. In the last program, I played the first side of a very rare album recorded by Gail Aldrich and friends in 1970 called Sounds from the Fellowship of the Ring, music composed and narrative selected by Gail Aldrich, orchestrated pieces arranged and directed by Professor John Shanway, and narrated by Professor Edward McGee. This album was privately pressed in an edition of less than a dozen copies, so what you are hearing is a very, very rare broadcast. Here's Sounds from the Fellowship of the Ring by Gail Aldrich. We're going to hear Encounter with Barrow-Whites, The Inn of Bree, The Troll, Fireside, Stars of Miromir, and Lothlorien.
Whether one day or many days had passed, Frodo could not tell. While they stayed in the house of Bombadil and Goldberry, they did not feel either hungry or tired, only filled with wonder. Tom told them many remarkable tales of the woods. He knew of the hearts of trees and their thoughts, which were often mysterious and strange, and filled with a hatred of things that go free upon the earth. Gnawing, biting, breaking, hacking, burning, usurpers and destroyers. Tom's talk left the woods and went to the box, wandering at last to the Barrow Downs. He told of the great barrows and the green mounds and the stone rings upon the hills. Sheep grazed in flocks. Green walls and white walls rose. There were fortresses on the heights. Kings of little kingdoms fought together, and the young sun shone like fire on the red metal of their new and greedy swords. There was victory and defeat. Towers fell and fortresses were burned. Gold was piled on the biers of dead kings and queens, and mounds covered them, and the stone doors were shut. And the green grass grew over all. Sheep walked for a little while, biting the grass, but soon the hills were empty again. Then a shadow came out of dark places far away, and bones were stirred in the mounds. Barrow-whites walked in the hollow places with a clink of rings on cold fingers and gold chains in the wind. Stone rings grinned out of the ground like broken teeth in the moonlight. The hobbits shuddered. By Tom's advice, they decided to make due north from his house, over the western and lower slopes of the downs, that they might strike the east road in a day's journey and avoid the barrows. Keep to the grass. Don't go meddling with old stone whites or prying into their houses, unless you be strong folk with hearts that never falter. He said this more than once. Then he taught them a rhyme to sing, if they should, by ill luck, fall into any danger the next day. Unfortunately, as it happened, they did have need to use it.
Water, wood, and hill, by the reed and willow, by the fire, sun, and moon, oh, hearken now and hear us. Come, Tom Bombadil, for our need is near us. Old Tom Bombadil is a merry fellow, bright and blue his jacket is, and his boots are yellow. None have ever caught him yet, for Tommy is the master. His songs are stronger songs, and his feet are faster. Get out, Joel White, vanish in the sunlight. Shrivel like the mist, like the winds go wailing. Out into the barren lands, far beyond the mountains. Come never here again, leave your barrow empty. Lost and forgotten be, darker than darkness. where the gates stand forever shut till the world is mended. Wake now, my merry lads, wake and hear me calling. Warm now be the heart and limb, the cold stone is fallen. Doctor is standing wide and dead, hand is broken. Night under night is flown and the gate is open.
The Inn of Bree was a meeting place for the idle, talkative, and inquisitive villagers. Also a resort of rangers, wanderers, and such travelers, mostly dwarves, as still journeyed on the east road to and from the Misty Mountains. As they stared up at the inn through the twilight, their hearts sank. With its three stories and many windows, this enormous inn was just too much for little hobbits at the dark end of a tiring day. They pictured black horses standing saddled in the shadows of the inn yard, and black riders peering out of dark upper windows. However, once inside, the landlord showed them to a small, cozy room with a bit of bright fire burning on the hearth. They washed and were in the middle of good, deep mugs of beer when he came in again and spread the table with hot soup, cold meat, blackberry tarts, new loaves, slabs of butter, and a half a ripe cheese. Food homelike enough to dispel the last of their misgivings, already much relieved by the excellent beer. Refreshed and encouraged, they joined a gathering in the big common room. By the light of lanterns and a blazing log fire, Frodo foolishly jumped up on a table and gave an extended performance of Hey Diddle Diddle, which ended in wild pandemonium.
There is an inn in the merry old inn beneath an old gray hill, and there they grew up beer so brown that the man in the moon himself came down one night to drink his fill.
Tipsy cat that plays a five string fiddle, and up and down he runs his bow, now squeaking high, now purring low, now sawing in the middle.
The landlord keeps a little dog that's mighty fond of jokes, and when the scutcher monkey asks, he cocks his ear all the jokes and laughs until he chokes.
A horned cow as proud as any queen, but music turns her head like ale and makes her wave her tufted tail and dance upon the green.
And though the rows of silver dishes and the store of silver spoons, for Sunday there's a special pair, and these they polish up with care on Saturday afternoon.
Another mug and then rolled beneath his chair, and there he dozed and dreamed of ale till in the sky the stars were pale and dawn was in the air. The ostler said to his tipsy cat, the white horses of the moon, they neigh and chant their silver bits, but the master's been and drowned his wits, so the sun will be rising soon.
So Captain Fiddle played hey diddle diddle, and a chick that quaked and dead, and he squeaked and he sawed and he quickened the tune, while the landlord shook the man of the moon.
It's after three, he said. Slowly up the hill and funnel him into the moon, while his horses galloped up in the rear, and the cow came capering like a deer, and the dish ran up with a spoon.
Now quickly the fiddle went beetle, and then the dog began to roar, and the cows and horses stood on their heads, the guests all bounded from their beds and danced up on the floor.
A ping and a pang, the fiddle strings broke, and the cow jumped over the moon. And the little dog laughed to see such fun, and the Saturday dish went off on a run with a silver Sunday spoon. The round moon rolled behind the hill as the sun raised up her head. She could hardly believe her fiery eyes, for though it was day, to her surprise, they all went back to bed.
There were rumors of strange things happening in the lands nearer to the mountains. Trolls were abroad, no longer dull-witted, but cunning and armed with dreadful weapons. Although they had never met any such villains, they did discover three large trolls that had been turned to stone long ago. Once over their initial fright, they relaxed and happily took their midday meal right in the shadow of the trolls' legs.
Trolls sat alone on a sea of stone, and he munched and he mumbled on a bell on for many a year. He had not it near, for meat was hard to come by. Gone by, in a cave in the hills he dwelt alone, and meat was hard to come by. Up comes Tom with his big boots on. Says he to the troll, "Prick, what is yon? For it looks like the shin of mine Uncle Tim, who should be lying in his graveyard. Graveyard. It's been many a year Tim's been dead and gone, and I thought he was lying in his grave. Oh, my land," says the troll, "this bone I stole, but what be bones it lie in a hole? My uncle was dead as a lump of lead before I found his shin bone, thin bone, thin bone. He can't spare a share for poor troll. Lord, he don't need his shin. Since time, I don't see why the likes of thee, without asking leave, should go making free with the shank or the sheen of my father's kin. So hand that old bone over, rover, trover, though dead he be, it belongs to he. So hand that old bone over." Fresh meat would go down, and I'm a mind to dine. I'm thee now, see now. I'm tired of a known old bones and skin, and I've a mind to dine on thee now. But just when he thought his dinner was caught, he found his hands had a hold of naught. Before he could mind, Tom slipped behind and gave him a boot to learn him. Darn him, I warn him. Up on the sea with the boot, Tom thought, that'll be the way to learn him. But harder than stone is the flesh and bone of a troll that sits in the hills alone. As well set your boot to the mountain roof, for the seat of a troll don't feel it. Peel it, peel it. Old troll laughed when he heard Tom groan, 'cause he knew his toes could feel it. Tom's leg is game since home he came, and his bootless foot is last and lame. But troll don't care, he's still there with the bone he boned from his owner. Donor, donor, troll's old seed is still the same, and the bone he boned from its owner.
We With the dark riders in close pursuit, Frodo reached the house of Elrond in Rivendell. As his old friend Bilbo had long ago reported, this elven house was perfect, whether you liked food or sleep or storytelling or singing, or just sitting and thinking. Bilbo had possessed the One Ring many years, and now, aged and stretched thin from its powers, he rested quietly in Rivendell, writing his book of history and composing songs. His traveling days were over, and the old hobbit waited patiently for news of Frodo's success and his safe return from Mordor.
I sit beside the fire and think of all that I have seen. Of meadow flowers and butterflies in summers that have been, of yellow leaves and gossamer in autumns that there were, with morning mist and silver sun and wind upon my ear. I sit beside the fire and think of how the world will be when winter comes without a spring that I shall ever see. For still there are so many things that I have never seen. A different green. I sit beside the fire and think of people long ago and people who will see a world that I shall never know. But all the while I sit and think of time that will be full. I listen for returning things and voices at the door.
The Ringbearer then went south from Rivendell, through the deadly dark passages under the mountains, and deep into the long, deserted, magnificent dwarf caverns of Moria. The mines of Moria were vast and intricate beyond imagination, but even in the gloom, and despite all windings of the road, Frodo knew he had to go on.
Many pillared halls of stone.
If the One Ring is captured by Sauron, then all three elven rings will fall into his domain. But then, what will happen if the one be destroyed? Elrond answered sadly. We know not for certain. Some hope that the three rings, which Sauron has never touched, would then become free, and the rulers might heal the hurts of the world that he has wrought. But maybe when the one has gone, the three will fail. Then many fair and beautiful things will fade and be forgotten. That is my belief. All we elves of Rivendell and those beyond the misty mountains in magic golden Lorien will sail to our final home with Elbereth beyond the seas forevermore.
I'm Mungo Bunce, and you're listening to The Voice of Middle-earth, music for your journey there and back again.
Come now to the daughter of the blade. cast my spell. I am the tale no heroes tell. Hie to the woods, boy, you'll be glad you stayed. Come now to the daughter of the glade. Chance to try a lover bold and sweet as I, dark and warm as winter wine. You've never tasted fruits as fine. I see you waste your golden song on mortal maidens dusk to dawn. Those virgin girls will ne'er be true. Come taste a love as wild as you'll meet your match when you meet my eyes. But I'll allow you your surprise. I am a daughter of the glade, and I will make no man a wife. By hook and horn I came to be. In song and storm I came to life. Leave off thy chase, my prize is here, and she will love you with a. Striking yellow gaze, the sultry voice of the summer maze. I am the beast beneath the skin. My song is done, thy lover.
This is Green Man Took. Thank you for listening to the Voice of Middle Earth, and wishing you many bright blessings wherever your journey may take you.